Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Tim Neville. It was the worst of years. It was the best of years. At least that's what an ancient friend of mine used to say. Either way, no matter your take on 2010, it was certainly a year of excitement in Switzerland. For the last week of the year, we're taking a quick look at the week's main news and checking in with some of our reporters to hear what events stood out for them and what 2011 might bring. Unless you're ski jumper Simon Amann, the Swiss Sportsman of the Year who returned from the Vancouver Olympics jingling two more gold medals, 2010 was by and large a tough 365 days. Who could forget the wake-up call that the Swiss received when a spat with Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi came to a head?
To be confronted to a real dictator, to a real crazy man, it's a kind of a baptism of fire, especially for the Swiss.
When Swiss hostage Max Goldi was finally released from a Tripoli jail, everyone, including Foreign Minister Micheline Calmy-Rey, breathed a sigh of relief.
First, I must say that I'm very happy that he's finally left prison. This has not been an easy situation.
You do, for instance, you do hear lots of vuvuzelas, these horns, and you can feel it in the air, the World Cup, the beginning of the World Cup approach.
Switzerland qualified for the World Cup in South Africa and somehow beat the ultimate winner, Spain, in what was hailed as the miracle of Durban. Then the team fizzled in the first round. Roman Polanski had a good year when the Swiss refused to extradite him.
Un mois et demi de suspense, Roman Polanski est libre. C'est la fin d'une attente planétaire où tous les yeux étaient braqués.
Bank UBS could not stay out of the headlines.
In fact, two things happened. The first is that today is the deadline, or Thursday is the deadline, for shareholders to sue former UBS boss.
The Deepwater Horizon oil drilling ship from Zug-based Transocean sank in the Gulf of Mexico.
This oil spill is the worst environmental disaster America has ever faced.
A Swiss senator stirred up a hornet's nest with his report on Kosovo.
News this week has been the sensational Council of Europe report alleging that Kosovo's Prime Minister, Hashim Thaci, headed a mafia-like organization involved in weapons smuggling, drugs, and trafficking organs from civilians seized and killed for that purpose.
And the biggest question of all,
where were you at midnight this year on New Year's Eve?
Usually I'm in bed.
Good luck staying awake, Simon. You're more than welcome to come join me and my neighbors for a Chinese fondue. That's where I'll be at midnight. We'll come back to some of the highs and lows of the year in a moment. But first, let's take a look at the week's main news. Is he invited or isn't he? The World Economic Forum in Davos will be gearing up shortly. And who's on the guest list, or rather who isn't, has people talking. A few weeks ago, organizers in Davos said WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange would not be getting an invitation to the forum since he's the object of a sex crime investigation in Sweden. Apparently, they have nothing against the guy since they said he would have been invited otherwise. Then on December 29th, a story published in Fribourg's La Liberté newspaper said Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's son, Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, who apparently loves the event, would also not be receiving an invite. Swiss Info journalist Julia Slater jumped on the case, and after a couple of interviews with WEF officials, lo and behold, they changed course and said Gaddafi was indeed invited. Klaus Schwab, founder of the forum, told Julia that the WEF has, quote, no deliberate policy of excluding Libyans or other nationalities from the annual meeting, end quote. The American ambassador to Switzerland, Donald Beyer, has urged the Swiss to get tough on Tehran. Iran agreed in Geneva earlier in December to a fresh round of nuclear talks, this time in January in Istanbul. Tehran said it will not stop enriching uranium despite sanctions that are crippling the country's economy. Ambassador Beyer said Washington wants the Swiss to adopt the sanctions in line with the European Union. Beyer admitted that the issue puts Switzerland in a difficult place as a neutral country that represents U.S. interests in Iran. Beyer said, quote, that it is precisely why it is all the more important for Switzerland to back these sanctions, end quote. And more pressure on Switzerland from America came this week in the form of exchange rates. The United States dollar fell to a record low against the Swiss franc when late holiday trading helped push the greenback down. The online broker SwissQuote showed around noon on December 28 that you needed just 0.9434 francs to purchase one U.S. dollar. That is a few fractions less than the previous low set in October, and the franc has been worth more than the dollar since September. That's bad news for Swiss exporters and the tourist industry, who expect to feel more pain next year as the safe haven franc is expected to retain its strength against major currencies.
You're listening to Swiss Info's weekly news roundup. To learn more, head to swissinfo.ch.
It was also a year for breaking records in the air, in the Alps, even in the kitchen. After 15 years of work, Switzerland also made the last breakthrough in the longest rail tunnel in the world. The Gotthard-based tunnel in central southern Switzerland is 57 kilometers long. When it opens in 2017, the tunnel will shave 90 minutes off the journey between Zurich and Milan. Joining me now in Swiss Info Studio C is Jessica Dacey. What other records were broken this year?
Well, after the Gotthard, there was the rare pink diamond that was auctioned at Sotheby's auction house. That was reported around the world. It became the most expensive stone ever auctioned, selling in Geneva for 45 million Swiss francs, nearly twice the previous record. There was another record at auction for the price of a piece of art. It was broken by the Swiss sculptor Alberto Giacometti. His Walking Man 1 sold for $104.3 million. He held the record for just a couple months, though it was later on usurped by Picasso's Nude, Green Leaves and Bust, which sold for $106.5 million.
Now, what about in the world of daredevil adventure types? They always seem to be good for a record or two. Anything notable happened there this year?
We've got a fair few of those in Switzerland. The Solar Impulse, which is Swiss-run, became the first ever manned solar-powered aircraft in aviation history to fly through the night without fuel. Another renowned daredevil we have in Switzerland is the high-wire artist Freddie Nock. He claimed a new record, world record this year. He says he did the longest tightrope walk across a stretch of water. He crossed a 900-meter cable suspended 30 meters above Lake Zurich. And earlier in the year, he had failed, actually, an attempt in China, in the Hunan province. He tried to cross a 600-meter cable, but that, in fact, had to be halted because of high winds.
Now, I understand that there was also a... An illegal daredevil of sorts that broke a record here in Switzerland this year. What can you tell me about that?
Yes, we had a Swede who was caught driving at 290 kilometers per hour in Canton Vaud. As a result, he's now facing a fine of 1 million Swiss francs. It's believed to be the biggest fine ever, but he has yet to go to the courts.
Now, what would be a year of records without the world's largest bowl of green jello or something like that? What about on the quirky side? What can you highlight for us there?
Well, this being Switzerland, of course, we've got our Italian influence. So there was a group of Italians from the Canton Jura, and they cooked up the biggest tiramisu ever. It weighed 2.3 tons. We also had a giant Toblerone. Bern is the home of the Toblerone. It's where it was first created. And there was a big chocolate fair in Bern this year, and they created a 102 kilogram Toblerone and then kindly broke it up for everybody to eat.
That sounds sweet. Jessica Dacey, thanks. On a more serious note, Swiss Info's parliament correspondent Urs Geiser filed a report this week looking at how Swiss politics hit the headlines in 2010. The year was marked by political fights over Swiss banking secrecy, as well as moves to tighten regulations on immigrants, targeting foreign criminals in particular. He joined me on the phone from the Federal Palace. I began by asking him what events stood out.
For many people, one of the thing that stood out was a story about the film director Roman Polanski, who was arrested in Switzerland about 2 years ago and then was finally released and, more importantly, was not extradited as the United States authorities wanted him to be.
We got a lot of feedback on that one, on that story.
The Polanski story might not have been a politically extremely relevant story. What was interesting and what was important for Switzerland was that it managed, or rather the government managed, to legalize a deal it made with the United States over customer details of bank accounts. And all that, despite banking secrecy.
Now, there'll be a lot of back and forth, it sounds like. Also with the EU, Switzerland, of course, not being a member of the EU.
Brussels made it clear that Switzerland has to consider other ways of organising its relations with the EU because it's becoming more and more cumbersome to try to manage 120 different bilateral agreements.
Now, the incoming Swiss president, Micheline Calmy-Rey, who is also the foreign minister, has said that she will make relationships with the EU a priority this year. What exactly does that mean? What task does she face?
Certainly not to try and seek EU membership, but maybe try and find a way of agreeing a kind of framework for all those 120 agreements.
There were also some big votes this year in Switzerland, one most recently here involving the automatic deportation of foreign criminals. How do you see that playing out over the next year?
Difficult to say, because The vote left one big question open, and that is how the initiative can be applied in law and turned into law. The difficulty there is that the demands of the initiative committee, they run counter to international agreements, they run counter to human rights laws in some ways as well.
So not a stellar year for Switzerland. Of course, there was the Libya crisis. Do you see things being normalized with Libya over the next year?
The story has moved on in 2010 considerably because the last hostage held by Tripoli was allowed to return to Switzerland. But relations between Libya and Switzerland have not been patched up yet.
Now, looking forward, what big events do we have coming up?
The one big event will be in October 2011, and that's the parliamentary elections, which take place every 4 years in Switzerland. We can expect another very contentious campaign, or some very contentious campaigning as such. Parties will try and win more votes than they did 4 years ago.
Urs Geiser, thank you so much for joining us. The year 2010 was sadly the last for some of Switzerland's most prominent people. The uncrowned king of Swiss watchmaking, Nicholas G. Hayek, died in June of heart failure at his headquarters in Biel. He was 82. Hayek, who was the boss of the Swatch Group, the largest watchmaking concern in the world, was widely regarded as having saved the Swiss watch industry. More than 1,000 people showed up for his funeral, including actor George Clooney. And that brings us to the end of another year in Switzerland. Are you making any resolutions? Is this the year you will declare your billions to the IRS or finally start exercising? Head to swissinfo.ch to read about Swiss research into willpower. You can also see videos on what it takes to build a tavern out of snow and flip through an online gallery assembled by our photo folks, looking back at the year in pictures. From all of us here at Swiss Info, bon année, buon anno, squitte neues. Happy New Year. See you next year.